I love that song. Amen. They sing that song just about every service, amen? Yeah. And people ask me all the time, does their songs get old to you? And it's not their voices, I guarantee you, that it's the words of the songs. I just wrote down, I've heard that song probably 20, 30 times this summer already. And I just wrote down a thought. If we do everything that we do in view of the cross, it would make a difference in the way we live our lives. Every time I hear him sing that song, I look at the front row on this side right here where Stephen's sitting. That's where I was sitting the night I got saved. Doesn't matter what church I'm in, there's always a front row. And there's always a little spot right there. There's a little spot right down here at this altar that's special to me. This is the first time I've been in this auditorium. But that spot right down there is special to me because it was an old-fashioned altar where I knelt down as a 16-year-old boy and asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and save me. Amen. And the cross changed my life forever. Amen. Amen. And I still glory in the cross. Some people think it's foolish. The Bible says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Amen. Amen. I thank God for the cross. I thought about just preaching on the cross without even any notes tonight, and I don't know that that would be wise, but it would be good. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, turn with me to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel, chapter number 22. Ezekiel, chapter number 22. As I was reading my Bible, my regular daily Bible reading, several months ago, the Lord captivated my thoughts with this thought that I want to give you tonight. And we as Christians need to understand some things about the Lord. God never changes. Amen. We know that, amen? The Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, amen? I'm glad that God will never change. I don't have to worry about when I get up in the morning if the rules in which I'm to live my life by have changed. Amen. God doesn't change, therefore His Word never changes. Amen. And He's given us some things to live by. But Jesus Christ never changes. God never changes. And God in His omnipotence and wisdom has chosen to use mankind to accomplish much of His will. God, the Creator of the universe, the One who spoke the worlds into existence, who is the Master of the sea, the God who can control anything that He wants to control, if He wanted to, could write the message of salvation in the skies. He could write it upon the mountains. He could do whatever He wanted. He could make the mountains cry out the gospel if He would like. But He's chosen to use mankind to accomplish His will of getting the gospel to a lost and dying world. He could have sent angels to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. He used angels throughout the Word of God for different various things, but He's chosen to use mankind to accomplish much of His will. Man has a responsibility of spreading the gospel to a lost and a dying world, a world that is on the verge of and is on its way to hell. See, we as Christians have a great responsibility. The Bible tells us in Ezekiel chapter number 22, verse number 30, a very, very familiar verse if you've been in church any length of time. You've probably heard many sermons and probably better sermons than what you'll hear tonight from this passage of Scripture. Knowing the men of God who've gone before me and the great preachers that have gone before me, I no doubt would say that there's been better messages preached on this passage of Scripture. But the Word of God still says in Ezekiel chapter number 22 and verse number 30, these words, "And I sought for a man among them." This is God Almighty speaking. The book of Ezekiel proclaims and prophesies the destruction of the nation of Israel. The judgment of God that is imminent and evident in the life of Israel is proclaimed throughout the book of Ezekiel. And God Almighty says in verse number 30, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. Then, some of the saddest words, I believe, in all the Bible, but I found none. God Almighty went to and fro. I don't believe He just glanced down by chance at the nation of Israel. I believe that word sought means that God Almighty diligently and thoroughly looked for a man. I sought for a man among them that would make up the hedge and stand in the gap for me for the land, but I found none. God Almighty looked all over the nation of Israel and He said this, I have no man. I have no man. I believe that because God is the same today as He was yesterday, that He is still seeking for a man. One individual that will stand in the hedge and make, or stand in the gap and make up the hedge for Him for the land, that He should not destroy it. I wonder tonight if He were looking down at Berean Baptist Church in Adrian, Michigan, and He was looking for a man, one individual, someone from mankind in our midst tonight. If God Almighty were looking in our midst, would He have to say, I have no man? I do not want that to be so. Tonight I believe that God is still diligently and actively seeking for a man. And I believe tonight, if we'll look in the pages of Scripture, we can look at four different areas that God is looking for a man to stand in the gap for Him and to make up the hedge for Him. And tonight, with the power of the Holy Spirit, I want to bring this message to you with this thought. I have no man. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask for Your help once again today. Lord, I'm nothing without You. I know what I am. And Lord, I've got to have Your power. So once again, I ask for Your strength and Your power and Your wisdom as I speak and proclaim Your words. Lord, help me not to say anything that You would not say, and help me to say everything that You would say if You were standing in my place physically tonight. Fill me with Your power. Holy Spirit of God, I yield myself to You once again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Tonight I believe that God is still looking for man. I believe the first area that God is looking for a man tonight, now I don't mean He's just glancing in our midst. I believe He's looking in our midst tonight and diligently looking for a man to give the gospel. You see, God has given the gospel into the trust of the local New Testament church. He has entrusted us with the gospel. If any person is going to come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to happen through the local church. Because the Christian, every one of us, is what make up a local body of believers, amen? Make up the local church. And God has given us the responsibility to go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Hey, it is our job to get the gospel across the world. I believe with all my heart that we need to get the gospel to foreign nations. I believe every person in Africa has a right to hear the word of God. I believe every person in Russia has a right to hear the word of God. And I could not stand here tonight and list all the countries in the world tonight. But there, every country, whether it be small or whether it be large, has a right to hear the gospel of a lost and a dying world. Of the Lord Jesus Christ, I apologize. Listen, tonight, the people in Haiti have a right to hear the word of God. The people, Brother Stephen, in Uruguay, have a right to hear the word of God. The people in whatever country you want to name has a right to hear the word of God. And if they're going to get the gospel, there has to be a man. There has to be someone who will say, I'll go. I'll stand in the gap. I'll make up the hedge for that country. But I think that many times, and I don't know this to be the case here, I don't believe it to be the case here, I don't even suspect it to be the case here, but many times Christians, we look across the world at people that need the gospel, but we won't look across the street at the people that need the gospel. And let us not fail in our duty as a Christian to tell the gospel to someone who's on their way to hell. God Almighty is still looking for someone tonight to give the gospel. But I believe many times as God looks for someone to give the gospel, He has to come up empty and say, I have no man. You see, the Bible tells us in the book of John, if you flip over there, you can. But in the book of John, chapter number 5, we come to a very interesting story. And this is the portion of Scripture that I was reading when the Holy Spirit of God captivated my heart and gave me this thought. As Jesus comes to the pool of Bethesda, there we find a man who is impotent, the Bible calls him. He could not help himself. And Jesus comes to him as they were there at the pool of Bethesda. And if you know the story, once a year, an angel of God would come down and he'd stir the waters. And the first person into the pool after the waters were stirred was healed of whatever ailment they had. Jesus comes by and talks to this man who was impotent. The Bible says that he had been there for 38 years. 38 years is a long time. I'm 35 years old. If I were that man, I would have 3 more years to lay there before Jesus passed by. Jesus passed by and he speaks to the man who had been laying there for 38 years. He desired to be healed. This man did. If he did not desire to be healed, he would not have laid there for 38 years. He was waiting for his chance to get into the water. And Jesus asked him, he says, do you want to be healed? Now I'm paraphrasing, I'm not reading word for word, but Jesus speaks to him and says, do you want to be healed? Wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to be healed? And the man looks at Jesus and he says these words, I have no man when the water is stirred to help me. When I read those words, I thought, I wonder how many people want to know the truth. Oh, false religions are filled with people seeking truth. But they're being fed a lie. I don't believe every person that fills a false religious church is an evil person. I believe many of the people that run them are evil. But I believe a lot of the people that sit in the congregations are truly seeking truth. But they have no man to help them. Right. We as Christians need to understand that there are people who are dying and on their way to hell tonight. As far as God's concerned, they are literally in the flames of hell tonight. The Bible says, he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. The Bible says, and if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Hey, we as Christians need to understand we have a duty tonight to pull those out of the fire. Amen. And there are people who want to know the truth, but they have no man. God Almighty healed that man that day. And he said, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And that day, he had someone to help him. Hey, tonight, you know what? Jesus Christ does not walk the earth anymore. Physically, he is not here anymore. But you understand what responsibility he's given you and I. We are to be Jesus to others. I wonder when the world looks at you and I, what do they see? Do they see Christians? Or they just see a good person? There is a difference. And we as Christians need to realize we've got to get the gospel to a lost and a dying world. I'm reminded of the Ethiopian eunuch as he was traveling through the desert. He had come to Jerusalem for a specific purpose. He was seeking truth. That's why he went to Jerusalem. As he was riding back through the desert, God sent Philip out into the desert, took him away from a great revival that he was preaching, and sent him out for one person. Philip says, hey, as the eunuch was reading the word of God, he said, do you understand what you read?
And the reply that the eunuch gave was, "How can I except some man should guide me?" There has to be a man. There has to be someone who's willing to take the gospel to a lost and a dying world. I ask you tonight, if Jesus Christ looked down from heaven, and I believe He is, if He was looking in the midst of Berean Baptist Church tonight in Adrian, Michigan, and He was looking among us, and He had someone who specifically needed the gospel, and He wanted to find someone that would take the gospel to that person, I wonder if He'd find someone willing. Or would He have to say, "I have no man"? Oh Lord, let it not be so that Jesus Christ cannot find someone to give the gospel to a lost and a dying world. When we stand before Jesus Christ, the Scriptures bear it out. We will stand before Jesus Christ and there will be tears in heaven and there will be blood on our hands. I have heard preachers preach my whole life, "There's no tears in heaven." There's going to be a point when there's not. But the Bible says He shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. If there's no tears in heaven, how can He wipe them away? I believe there's going to be a lot of tears when we all stand in the audience of the great white throne judgment and see souls that we could have reached. As they're dragged to hell. But I have no man. Let's be willing to give the gospel tonight. Let it not be said of you or I that I have no man. They're not willing. The command is still go. It's not to retreat. It doesn't matter what society says. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only hope for this world. It's the only hope for America. It's the only hope for this town. It's the only hope for this church. Amen? Amen. It's the only hope. It's the only cure for whatever ails you. Amen? I have no man to give the gospel. But I believe many times not only would God have to look down and say, "I have no man to give the gospel." But I believe He'd also have to look down and say, "I have no man to edify the saints." You see, it's not just the pastor's job to edify the church. We are supposed to edify one another. Yes. Hey, that's why the Bible tells us that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is. But we should go so much the more as we see the day approaching. Right. So that we can edify one another. As I began to look at this, I found over in Philippians chapter number 2, in verses 19 through 21, and this is Paul writing to the Philippians, the church at Philippi, if you please. And this is the church that Paul had started, and then he had to go on his missionary journey, and he's writing back to them, and he comes to this portion of Scripture, and the Bible says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you." Now, who is Timotheus? Timotheus was Timothy, Paul's son in the faith. For lack of a better way of saying it, it was Paul's college student. It's who Paul trained. Paul trained many young men, but Timothy was one of them. And Paul was training Timothy, and he said that he was going to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Verse number 21 says this, "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." Why was Paul having to send Timothy to Philippi? Because there was no one there who would naturally care for them. There was no one there to care for them, to edify them, to build them up in the Lord. They were basically floundering. They were on their own. And Paul says, "I'm going to send Timothy to you so I can know your state. I can know how you're doing. And so I'll know that you'll be edified and I'll know you'll be taken care of." He said, "Because why? Because I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." I thought to myself, how in the world? These are saved people. They know Jesus Christ as their Savior. How can they not care for one another? How can there not be anyone there that naturally cares for their state? And then the Bible tells us. You know, every question we have, the Bible answers. The Bible tells us in the very next verse. It says, "For all seek their own." not the things which are Jesus Christ. You know why we don't edify one another? Because we're all worried about me. What do I need? We're not worried about what our brother and sister in Christ needs. We're worried about what we need. As I thought about this, I was automatically, and if you know anything about the Bible, it's almost natural for your mind to be drawn this way, that the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, I think a lot of times we let ourselves off the hook as Christians. We're good about doing that. I don't know about you. I'm good about doing that. I let myself off the hook. Well, I go to church Sunday morning. I go to church Sunday night. I go to church Wednesday night. I even go out and I tell people about Jesus. I'll run a bus route. I'll do all these. And those are all good things to do and things that Christians ought to do. Amen? Man, I thought I'd have more amens than that. But anyway, those are things that Christians ought to do. Amen? There we go. Anyway, but the Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You know what we are supposed to be doing on a daily basis? Being more like Christ. Amen. Becoming more righteous. I'm glad I have the righteousness of God imputed upon me on my account. And when God looks down, He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But you know what? I've got to die to my flesh on a daily basis and yield to the Holy Spirit of God on a daily basis if I'm going to be what I ought to be. And if I'm going to edify another brother or sister in Christ, you know what I've got to do? I've got to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Amen. You know what? You know how you encourage another brother and sister in Christ to be more righteous? Oh, it's not going to them and saying, hey, buddy, I got a list right here of things that you're not doing. And you need to check out this and this and this and this, and then you'll be a better Christian. That's not how you edify somebody. That's how you be an idiot. I'm sorry, I'm from the South. What is blame it on that? No, that's not how you edify one another. You know how you encourage someone else to be a better Christian? You be a better Christian. Amen. You live like Christ. It's pretty simple. If you're more like Christ than I am, you know what it's going to do? It's going to encourage me to be more like Christ. Amen. That's the way God set it up. That's the way it works. Hey, listen, we as Christians, we need to do what we're supposed to do. Amen. We're supposed to be where we're supposed to be. We're to live how we're supposed to live according to the Word of God. You say, Brother Montgomery, people accuse us all the time. I don't know if you ever get accused of this, but we get accused all the time of having a list of rules that people have to do to be a member of our church. You know, I'm sure that you never get accused of that. But they've done that to us. You know, there is no list of rules that you have to, you know, to be a member of Emmanuel Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, you have to be saved and baptized. Amen? Now, if you want to sing in the choir and do something else, there's some other things you need to do according to the Word of God. But to be a member of the church, you just need to be saved and baptized. Amen? You know what the only list of rules we have is? A very short list. It's right here. Amen? So if we conform ourselves to the Word of God, we don't have to worry about a list. But there's a pretty extensive list of things we need to do and not do in the Word of God, if we'll just read it. Amen? Amen? But you know what? If we're to be a better Christian, if we're to edify one another, we've got to be more like Christ. It's just that simple. And God Almighty is looking for those who will just say, I want to be more like the Savior. More like the Master I would ever be. Lord, mold me and make me into what You'd have me to be. Lord, I want to be like Thee. Oh, to be like Thee. Blessed Redeemer, pure as Thou art. Hey, I want to be like Him. And if we would focus on that, then we would edify the brothers and sisters in Christ. We would edify the believers. And we'd be doing what God wants us to do. But the Bible says that Paul looked down and he says, I have no man who'll care for the state of the people, who'll edify one another. Why is it? Because they seek their own. Let's not be a people who just seek our own. But let's be a people that seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That I want to be like the Savior. Hey, listen, I understand that we're bound by sinful flesh. I've been saved more than 2 seconds. I know that I'm still in the flesh. Amen? And I'll never achieve perfect Christ-likeness while I'm bound in the flesh. Hey, but one of these days, thank the Lord, the Bible says we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is, and that will be when we stand in His presence in glory. Amen? Hey, but one of these days when I am transformed into His likeness, I know I'm going to be changed. But I don't want to have to change so much that nobody would recognize me. I believe there's a lot of Christians who are so close to the world over here that when they get to heaven and they're like Christ over there, there's going to be so much of a change, they'll be like, who are you? I don't want that to be the case. I want to get like Christ more and more every day, and more every day I become more like Him. This last week I began reading once again Dr. Heil's book on Meet the Holy Spirit. Man, if you've never read that, you ought to read it. Amen? And if you have read it, you probably ought to read it again, because it's a help to me. But Dr. Howes made that point that we are to be like Christ. We are the only Christ that anybody's going to see. Jesus doesn't walk here on this earth anymore. We've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and let Him empower us and change us and mold us and make us into what we should be. Amen. Hey, I want to be like the Savior. If we're going to edify one another, we've got to be like Him. God Almighty is still looking for someone who's willing to edify the saints. I believe God Almighty is still looking down from heaven, and He's looking for a man, just someone who will stand in the gap and make up the hedge and lift up the fallen. You know what we're good about in Christianity? We're good about kicking a brother when they're down. We are. And you know what? There's nowhere in the Bible that says that we ought to do that. Now, the Bible does tell us that when somebody is a scorner, the Bible says smite a scorner, right? I mean, we are biblical, right? The Bible still says that. And so when a man is going into false doctrine, we ought to stay away from it. The Bible says that we should, the Bible says having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Okay, they have a form of godliness. They claim to be a Christian. They've denied the power thereof. Something's not right there. From such turn away. We're not going to get into all that. But what I'm talking about is a brother or sister who's fallen into sin. I'm talking about a brother or sister who they're walking along, they're loving the Lord, but their flesh got the better of them. They've failed. I don't know about you. Well, I do know about you because you're human. And I know about me, and I'm human. But I failed. I failed more than once. And the Bible still says in the book of Galatians, chapter 6, and verse number 1, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be like him. Hey, we as Christians need to realize that there are prodigal sons. And they willingly walk away from the Savior. Just like that prodigal says, hey, Father, I want everything that's coming to me. I'm doing my own thing. I don't care what you say. I don't care how much you love me. I'm going and doing what I want to do. Huh. That doesn't sound like any of us Christians, does it? We've never done that. Oh, yes, we have. In our mind, if not with our physical bodies. And the ones that do it with their physical bodies are more visible than those of us that do it in our hearts. But whether we do it with our physical bodies or just in our hearts and our minds, we've still fallen. That's why the preacher will get up and preach the Word of God and preach against sin. Amen. And every Christian, let's just put a little sideline in here, every Christian needs to hear preaching against their sin. Amen. That's why, you know, every person needs to hear preaching against their sin. Amen. You know what? The woman at the well didn't come to Jesus until Jesus got on her sin. He said, go bring that husband. Oh, I don't have a husband. Yeah, that's right. You got five of them, and the one you're living with now is not your husband. Whoa, I perceive thou art a prophet. Yeah, she wanted to talk about how good and what the difference between the Jews and the Samaritans were until then. But when Jesus confronted her with her sin, she started listening up. So we all need preaching on our sin. But listen to me tonight. When someone is overtaken in a fault, they need someone to help them up. I'm reminded of the prodigal son, the story here. There was a character in the story that was more than willing to help the prodigal back. It was the father. Oh, I'll never get over the mercy of the father who forgave me, who forgive you, who's forgiven you, who will forgive you and will forgive me. I'll never get over His grace that He'll give me what I do not deserve. Not only did He forgive me and bring me back, but He also put on the best robe on me. And He gave me the ring and He made me a son. Hey, I thank God for that, that there's a father. But there's also another character in that story who reacts like many of us. It's the brother. What is he doing back here? He went out and wasted all our father's living. He's a dirty, good for nothing. What is he? And the father killed a fatted calf for him? Man, I'm not going in there. I'm not having any part of it. Huh. Two totally different reactions. One was spiritual. It was the Heavenly Father. And one was natural. You know what the prodigal needs? He needs a brother to react like the father. Let me say that again. The prodigal doesn't need you to be a brother like the prodigal's brother. The prodigal needs you and he needs me and he needs every one of us to react like the father would react. And to lift up the fallen. God needs you and I. He needs someone to lift up the fallen. But in our pride, we're not willing to. We would much rather kick him while he's down instead of help him up. What if God was looking in our midst tonight? And I don't know everybody here. I know very few people here, to be honest with you. I don't know. There could be a prodigal that needs to be helped up. But they'd be ashamed to walk in the doors for what people might think of them. That ought not to be so. Oh, the devil will defeat people like that and tell them that. But when they actually come in, it ought not to be like that. We ought to be willing to receive them and to lift them up according to the Word of God. Now, according to what you think, you can do what you want. But I'd much rather follow the Word of God. So God is still looking for a man to lift up the fallen. And lastly, and I'll be done, I asked Pastor Rogers how much time I had, and he did this. So you're stuck. Now, I'll be done quickly. God is still looking for a man, just like he was in the book of Ezekiel, to simply take a stand. Just to stand. Just to be a man of God. And when I say a man of God, yes, every preacher, listen guys, every preacher, whether you're a pastor, missionary, evangelist, whatever you are, every man that's been called of God to preach the Word of God ought to be a man of God. Just because you're a preacher doesn't make you a man of God. But every Christian man ought to be a man of God as well. And every Christian lady ought to be a lady of God. Amen. And when I say that God is seeking for a man tonight, you understand in my introduction I said God has used mankind. God has not excluded the ladies from being used of Him. Amen. And God still is looking for a man to stand for Him. Amen. I'm talking about just deciding that I'm not changing. I don't care who changes. Amen. Listen, I've heard preachers my whole life say, I'm going to stand for God. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And I understand that we're human and we fail, but I've seen them fall. Do you want to know what keeps me awake at night? Do you want to know? Fear of compromise. I am scared to death of compromise. Every chance I get, these guys will tell you, I try to box myself in, Brother Rogers. Every time I get up and preach, I try to box myself in. I don't want to change. I don't want to become a compromiser. I don't want to become this new feel-good, good-for-nothing Christianity. I want to be an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist preacher. Just like my dad was and is. And just like my forefathers have been, that's what I want to be. I am nothing. I agree with Paul 1,000, 1,000,000% when he said, but under the inspiration of the Word of God, and Paul said it under the inspiration of the Word of God, and if it was true about Paul, then bless God, it's true about you and I. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Hey, and when we get a hold of that and understand what we truly are, it would make a difference in our attitude toward the things of God. But there's got to be somebody. I'm not talking about someone that's perfect. I know that I'm not perfect. I know that we're all human, and there's not one of us that are perfect tonight. But if I can do anything, I can stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. I can stand for the gospel that is the hope and the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. I can stand for biblical separation and standards. I can stand for the truths of God's word, of prayer, and worship. And by the way, worship is not a dirty word. It's a misused word and a misunderstood word, but it's not dirty. We are to worship the Lord. We're to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I'll guarantee you tonight that what goes on in these new churches that they call worship, the Holy Spirit is not within 10,000 miles of that. And there's definitely no truth because they don't have truth because they don't use the King James Bible. Bless God. You can take that or leave it. So there's no spirit and truth in there. But when you ask the Holy Spirit to teach me the Word of God as you read your Bible on a daily basis. And you, I'm sure that every one of you have the time, but you sit down with the Word of God and it's no longer an exercise. It's no longer a checkbox, but it's fellowship and it's communion with God Almighty. And you say, Holy Spirit of God, I'm nothing. I need you to teach me the Word of God. Well, then you have Spirit and you have truth. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And as you read the Word of God, you get a clearer view of what you are. Because the Word of God is a mirror. And we look into the Word of God and we see that what we are does not match up to what Christ is. We say, Holy Spirit of God, this is wrong in my life. There's probably much more that's wrong in my life than this, but this is what you highlighted today in my life. Lord, I want to yield this to you. And I want to be more like you in this area. Holy Spirit of God, help me. God Almighty, I want to be more like you. And Lord, help me. I know that you are holy and you are righteous and I'm nothing but sinful flesh. But Lord, mold me and make me into what you want me to be. Well, that's worship. As we praise Him for what He is and we lift Him up on high and we say, Dear Jesus, You are everything. And we begin to name all the things. I love just talking to the Lord and reminding. I don't know if I'm reminding Him of what He is or reminding myself, but I enjoy doing it. But we're to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Hey, I got off on a little rabbit trail there. It happens, right? But we are to take a stand. Hey, let's stand for old-fashioned worship. Let's stand for the truths of God's Word. I had a... trying to think of the correct word to call this individual. I guess the best word to describe him is an idiot. It's Sunday night. I can say idiot, right? Amen. It's not Sunday morning. I wouldn't use that on a Sunday morning ever, but I'm just joking. But I had an individual tell me, "You know what your problem is, Mark?" And I said, "No, enlighten me. I thought I was pretty good." No, I didn't say that. I said, no, tell me, what's wrong? What's my problem?" He said, "You major on the non-essential things in the Word of God." And I thought about that statement. You know how sometimes when you're talking to someone, you don't think of exactly what to say when they say it, but 5 or 10 minutes later, you're like, "Man, I should have said that." That's kind of how this happened. But he said, "You major on the non-essential things." I began to think about this, and you know, I'm not as smart as this other individual was. He must be smarter than God, because God, the Creator, God Almighty, the I Am that I Am, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, in His wisdom, left us this.
Amen.
So you tell me what's non-essential.
Yeah. Come on. It's good.
Yeah. You're right. It's true.
Can you find something in this that's non-essential?
Right.
If you can, you're welcome to come up to me after the service and show me in the old King James Bible what's non-essential. But there, I can't find anything. I may just be too dumb. But everything in this Word is essential to my life and to me being more like Him. So I just think I'll stand for it.
Amen.
If the Bible says it and I'm not living it, it's right, I'm wrong. I'm not too big to admit that I'm wrong. So if the Word of God says I should be doing it, and I'm not doing it, I need to change. And if the Word of God says I should not be doing it, and I'm doing it, I need to change. Because it's right, I'm wrong. I'm going to stand for it. Tonight, God Almighty is still seeking for a man. You know, if America is going to see revival, there's got to be someone, just like the prophet, who will say, "Here am I, send me." I wonder if God's looking down tonight. I believe that He is. He sees each and every one of our hearts. He needs someone to give the gospel out. He needs someone to edify a saint. He needs someone to lift up the fallen. He needs someone just to decide, "I'm going to stand no matter what." Will he have to say, "I have no man"? Let that not be the case.